Hi everyone, this is Jordana from DrinkItIn_Jordana. I'm so glad to be with you again. I hope everybody had a lovely Rosh Hashanah, a Shana Tova. You found it meaningful. You were able to show up. I think that's the most important thing. Hopefully you're able to show up for yourself, show up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And like I said, I hope it was a positive experience. Now we're getting ready, even though this week's Torah portion is Vayelech, we're getting ready for Yom Kippur. I'm not going to be speaking to you again before Yom Kippur, so I thought, like, hey, why not do some thoughts on Yom Kippur as well? And if we touch on Vayelech a little bit, that would also be nice. But I want to focus on us being the new version of ourselves. This is the new year, new you. That's our topic. This is part three. And again, if anybody ever wants to sponsor a class, feel free to reach out to Sheer Enjoyment that you can easily sponsor through them. And it's always something very lovely and thoughtful to add to a Yeshua, a Rafua, or simply Aliyah V'Neshama. If you want to hear more of my stuff, you could always go to DrinkItIn_Jordana on Instagram or Facebook or my website. You could reach out to me, whatever you feel like. I do get your emails and I do appreciate it. So today, I was looking through on Rosh Hashanah. I came across an old sefer of mine, such a really old sefer. And I say it's old sefer. It was written by Rabbi Ari Kaplan. It's a combination of different articles of his. And he had a series on the different chagim. And one of the things that I saw was his thought, called it his Yom Kippur thoughts. And I thought I'd share some of Ari Kaplan, if you don't know who he is, you can look him up. He died at a very young age and has translated a lot of the great works. And he came up with simple ways to present hard topics. That was a skill set of his. Really presented things in such a way that made it easier to understand. And as a young girl, when I was growing up, I came across his work. And I would say he was probably the first rabbi that I ever read that inspired me through the written work. And I would just gobble up all of his Torah. I always wanted to learn his Torah. And so I came across an old book of his. And on his Yom Kippur thoughts, he says, there's an interesting Pirkei de Rabbi Ezer. In this Sefer, it states that Yom Kippur is the birthday of the Jewish people. So how were the Jewish people born? They were born with a Brit Milah. The Brit Milah, according to Pirkei de Rabbi Ezer, are Avraham was circumcised on Yom Kippur. Did anyone know that fact? I did not recall that fact, that Avram Avinu, according to Chazal, actually had, I know he's 99 years old, but his Brit Milah happened to have been on Yom Kippur. This act and day, therefore, constitute a very auspicious beginning for the Jewish people. So it can't be coincidental. There must be something behind the fact that Avram, who does the first Brit Milah, he happens to do it on Yom Kippur. So we can ask, what specifically does the Brit Milah of Avram have to do with the day of Yom Kippur? What is the relationship with the concept of doing teshuvah? What is that we associate with Yom Kippur? How does that connect to Brit Milah? And to understand this connection, we have to really analyze a few ideas that are connected. What does the Brit Milah represent? What does getting a Brit actually mean? And to understand that the Medrash says, this is also, I don't know if you know this, Jack, I think some of you will, the Medrash says that when Adam, when first man was created, he was born perfect. He already was born as if he had a Brit Milah already. Very interesting, okay? So we have here, let's review, we have here, Avraham is doing his Brit Milah. He's the first Jew doing the Brit Milah on Yom Kippur. But Adam is somebody who, the first man that's born, and he was already born with a Brit. So if you go back to the Gemara, we find that it says about Adam, he lost his sign of the Brit. When did he lose it? Very good. As soon as he ate from the Eitz Hadat. By eating from the Eitz Hadat, he lost that sign. This is what the Maharsha explains. That was a consequence. Besides having to do heavy work, he lost that special quality. Therefore, when Hashem told Abraham to do the Brit Milah, it was, in a way, a tikkun, amending, a fixing of Chet Adam Arishon. So now, since this tikkun of the first Chet was done on Yom Kippur, now this day has become a day set apart for all of us, for future generations, to fix our Averot. Very cool connection, I think. I loved reading it, and I loved seeing that connection. It just really just gives you another idea that Yom Kippur itself, the day in itself, has inherent cleansing properties on it, right? And what's even cooler is one of the things you are not allowed to do on Yom Kippur, right? There are several things we're not allowed to do. One of the things we're not allowed to do is eat and drink. Now let's bring it back to Adam. What did Adam do wrong that caused him to lose this special quality of having the natural Brit Milah? He ate from the Eitz HaDaat. So the very first Avera involved eating. The Chet has come into the world through the result of eating when Adam ate from that tree. Therefore, part of the Yom Kippur process is really part and parcel, which is important, that one shouldn't eat on Yom Kippur. I mean, it's just fascinating. We know when we don't eat, we're refraining from physical aspects of our lives, and we could focus on our tefillah. But now we could come away from today's class having a little bit of a deeper understanding, which it just blew me away. I love when I learn things that I didn't know in advance. Maybe I knew this and I didn't recall it. So this idea, this connection of Avraham doing the Brit Milah to rectify the chet of Adam HaRishon, and the fact that on Yom Kippur we are not eating, one of the things we refrain from doing is because the actual original chet involved eating. That this whole day is a global rectification and a personal rectification. And to know that when you come into that day, when you come into Yom Kippur, there is a global cleansing. But to realize that if you truly want to cleanse oneself, you really have to do a lot of introspection. Again, if you don't do that introspection, we're not saying that something is not achieved. Of course, you can come out of it anew and fresh, but not to the extent that you could fully do it. But let's say if you study for a test, I don't know, I'm always doing school-related examples, being the teacher that I am. You study for a test, you know, there's studying and then there's studying. You could do enough to get by, or you could really put in all that effort and come out with flying colors. So I think that's really about Yom Kippur, that Yom Kippur, there could be enough to get by, but is that what we want? Do we want to live lives that we're just getting by? Do we want to live lives, I would love this one, do we want to live lives that we could say we survive, or do we want to live lives that we say we thrive? So I'm wishing everybody a Shana Tova, a Gemar Chatima Tova, and to live lives that we are thriving in, and to understand that core deep connection of Yom Kippur and the Brit Milah, and how the Pirkei Rabbi Ezer brings out how this is the birthday of the Jewish people, because Avraham Avinu had done his Brit Milah on that day as a tikkun for Chet Adam HaRishon, and not eating on Yom Kippur is all for us doing the tikkun of Chet Adam HaRishon. But don't leave it at that. We should really do our own tikkunim, our own introspection, so that we are thriving and not just surviving. Wishing everyone again a Gemar Chatima Tova, a Shana Tova, and looking forward to speaking to you again next week. And yeah, I just enjoyed it so much. So thank you for listening.